It was really hot in Havana in that late autumn of 1990. Nature's only blessing at that time of the year is that nightfall comes early, before 6 o'clock in the evening, sweeping the city with a fresh Caribbean breeze. It was a Saturday, December 8th, 1990, she would never forget the date, and Olga had decided to spend her day off catching up on work at the Tenerías Habana, the state company where she worked as an engineer. Around 7 o'clock on that overcast night, she got off the bus on tree-lined Fifth Avenue and walked a block to the modest apartment where she lived with her husband, René, and daughter, Irmita, in the once elegant neighborhood of Miramar, half an hour from the capital center. As they left home late that morning, Olga had suggested to René that the 6-year-old girl spend the day with her grandmother, freeing the parents to see the Brazilian film Estelina, directed by Miguel de Faria Jr., which was opening the Latin American Film Festival at the Yara Cinema downtown that evening. Back home, Olga noticed that the apartment lights were out. René was late, and the film festival would have to wait for another day. Inside, with the lights on, she saw that Dandy, her daughter's dog, had chewed up a pile of old newspapers, spreading bits of paper all over the place. When she went to the kitchen to get a broom, she heard the neighbor's voice. "Look, the lights have come on. She's back." Seconds later, there was a knock at the door. Opening it, she came face to face with two solemn-looking men. "Are you Olga Salanueva, René González's wife? May we come in?" Her reaction was immediate. Her husband, a pilot and parachute instructor, had had an accident. What else could it be? The man tried to calm her down. "We're from the Ministry of the Interior. Please sit down. We'll explain everything."
"Explain what? My husband! What's happened to my husband? Is he injured? Is he alive?"
"You knew your husband was going to fly today?"
"Yes, I knew. What happened to him?"
The answer, she would remember later, was like a blow to the head. "Your husband has defected."
"René? Unbelievable. René is a veteran of Angola, a party militant. Where did you get this idea?"
"René stole an airplane from San Nicolas Airport and fled to Miami."
"I don't believe it. I don't believe it. This is an insult."
Despite her distress, the man went on dryly, unflappable. "Do you have a radio? If you do, switch on Radio Marti." Olga's tiny battery-operated radio could tune in on shortwave to Radio Marti, a station created in May 1985 by American President Ronald Reagan to broadcast anti-Castro propaganda to the Cuban public. With her heart racing, Olga heard her husband's crystal-clear voice spreading through the house in an interview that had been broadcast over and over all afternoon. "I had to flee. In Cuba, there's a shortage of electricity, a shortage of food. Even potatoes and rice are rationed. The fuel for our planes is counted drop by drop." Olga's anguish was understandable. René, 34 and 6 feet tall, lean with a rough face, prominent nose, and faint shadows around his bright eyes, was a war hero decorated by the Cuban government. They made a handsome couple. Olga, a few inches shorter and 3 years younger than her husband, was an attractive woman with distinctive eyebrows, abundant hair, and a determined air. Apart from being workers' children, they had both been admitted a few months earlier into the Communist Party, where they were militants, and they shared a love of children and dogs. The main difference between them was that Olga was a true habanera on both sides, whereas René, an American citizen, had been born in Chicago. His father, Cándido, a metal worker and a card-carrying communist, had emigrated to Texas in 1952 in the hope of becoming a professional baseball player. At that time, baseball was the national sport of both Cuba and the United States.